Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm doing well. I'm feeling very, is vengeful the right name? I saw the Avengers thing this weekend. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so which one's your favorite?
My favorite Avenger was the Hulk.
See, I like the hot chick at the very beginning of the movie, but we don't want to give it away.
Do you think that gave it away?
No, I don't want to give it away, but that was my favorite Avenger. I think my wife likes Captain America.
Really? Old school?
Yeah.
That's nice. Is there any sponsors for today? We're going to go solo.
We do not have sponsorship, but if someone were to call in right now, we would let them sponsor this segment for nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
For nothing? Well, what about the people in this room? How much money do you
have? There you go. This segment brought to you by Sales Loft and Huge City.
There you go.
That's
perfect. That's a winner.
So this is going to be a fun segment. Who are we going to have with us today?
We got our buddy Kyle Porter with Sales Loft.
Sales Loft. This is not his first appearance. We had a chance to visit with him at the Startup Riot, right?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, man.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well now that we got your mic adjusted and everything. You know, when you come into the studio, they're all set on stone. They're like 6 inches off the ground. But are you an ex-basketball player or
something?
You're a big guy. You are. You're full grown, man.
I had to learn how to do the thing with two hands to get the mic up to my mouth, but I've got it now.
Well, we're glad to have you back. So give our listeners, those of them who don't know, a little bit of a feel for what Sales Loft is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to be back here. We met at Startup Riot. Also met again at the Georgia Technology Summit.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which
Innovation.
Was awesome. Yeah,
right.
We're honored to be there. But Sales Loft is a business application that enables sales professionals to learn all kinds of intelligence and important data on the people they're trying to sell to. So we like to say it's data intelligence for sales professionals. And it's served up as a software as a service over the web. And we've got a number of customers that use various CRM systems and use it to speed up sales cycles, close more deals. That is our journey and mission.
Now, can you walk us through exactly how that works? Like, say we have Salesforce, we meet somebody, we enter their name, and, you know, we put them on a path. How do you guys kind of layer into this?
Yeah, absolutely. Think about the types of news sites that exist on the world right now today. When I'm gathering and collecting information, I use RSS, I use social media, and the source of that data is you know, those sorts of things. They're blogs, news rolls, websites, Twitter, LinkedIn. What SalesLoft does is it creates this stream of intelligence information, and all of that data is created from the CRM. So we go into a CRM and we say, who are the companies, who are the people you care about? And then we use that as the data input to then collect all the information that you might care about. So it's information such as companies releasing new products, new partnerships, executives changing jobs, companies using technology, all kinds of things that exist in the world are sales triggers so that salespeople, when they get that data, they can use it to sell more, use it to connect with the right person, use it to know this person is the right customer and this is the right time to reach out to them.
And so you're CRM agnostic, or you play nicely with a lot of different CRM systems, is that right?
We're actually currently aligned with Salesforce.com.
Uh-huh.
So we're an AppExchange partner of theirs. And we're listed in their commerce app store, which is just their way to sell products to the customers of Salesforce.com. And we were actually honored to be number one customer choice app in the AppExchange.
Wow.
But as we grow our business and expand, we'll go into other CRM systems in the future.
Now, my CRM system is a shoebox with index cards. Does it work in there yet?
Not yet.
We're working on
the analog minus 0.1 version, yeah.
Now, actually, we're on Salesforce. We think the world of Salesforce.com, and it really does help us organize our efforts. So let's say, purely hypothetically, that we met some guys with a company called Huge City. And we thought, you know, these guys look like they got deep pockets. Surely we can sell them something, right? So we put them in our CRM, and by the next time we go in, your stuff will have gathered some news around them?
Yeah, actually, it may even be easier than that. So what's happening is the minute they go into your CRM system, SalesLoft says, okay, Huge City, identifies the company, identifies the people that are associated with that company, goes out on the web, tries to find everything that we can about Huge City from their website, and then goes out on social media, news, blogs, all kinds of information on the web. We're going to identify how much money they're spending in advertising, SEM, SEO, how big their social following is, how big their LinkedIn profile is, all that data. And we're going to start trying to find things that happen with them that would be sales triggers for you. So if Hugh, for example, goes out and raises money for the company and this news alert happens and it's, hey, announcement, huge city raises $1 million in a Series A financing, you're going to get that alert immediately. And you're going to get it in a way that appends his email address to that alert. So it may be on your handheld, it may, you know, your mobile phone. It could be in your dashboard in Salesforce. It could be through email. But you're going to get that alert, and you're going to be able to use that to connect with him over this event. And then another thing's happened too. So let's say you put in 1,000 other companies, and now you're looking for organizations that might be right to sell to today. SalesLoft's going to go in and rank those companies, all 1,000 in one of them now, rank those companies based on their likeliness to buy from you so that you've got the cream of the crop at the top of that list, and you can just go down and call people in order of what we believe their importance is, ranked by various factors that we've cultivated on the web.
Now, all this data that you're mining and kind of organizing for me, how does it appear to me? Do I get to kind of sort it in the buckets that are important to me, or does it just come in one big kind of fire hose stream?
Yeah, absolutely. So you get the opportunity to determine what types of alerts you want, what type of factors go into determining the ranking and the order of the companies. You've got your own dashboard at SalesLoft, or you can access all this information inside of Salesforce.com.
So what got you started? Were you in a sales position and you were having to go track all this stuff down piecemeal, and you said there's got to be a better way? Or what got you started on this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been selling my entire career, and one of the things that I learned early on was that if I can gather more intel, more information, more trigger data on the people I'm selling to, I can connect with them and know that there's a right fit with my solution. So oftentimes you find with sales professionals that they're just calling down a list. And if there's not a connection there, if there's not a way to build rapport, if there's not a fit, then you're wasting the buyer's time. So I created a script back in 2005 that would go on the web and I had 80 prospects and I was selling software development services. And I knew that if a company posted a job with those type of services, that it was a trigger for me. They'd be a good prospect. Uh-huh. So I built a scraping engine that would go to those 80 companies' websites every day and search to see if their jobs had changed. And when they did, it would email me, and I'd use that as a way to connect with the companies. And what I found was that those leads were so much stronger than any other that I could find other than good referrals. But they were opening doors and allowing me to sell business that I normally wouldn't have seen or been involved in.
I think that's fantastic. I've been selling most of my career. I have invested a great deal of time and energy, especially with the larger organizations trying to sell this high-end premium services. Right. You got to go find out what's going on in their world before you can begin to provide any real value.
And so now we've established that this helps salespeople. Does it help people that are bad salespeople?
that's always the running question in sales, right? You know, they say that 20% of sales professionals are responsible for 80% of revenue. And sales training, sales metrics, and processes have been out there trying to bring those 80% back to that 20% level. I can't speak to the philosophy of whether or not we can make a bad salesman good, but I know we can give them data that can help. You know, as a sales manager, I've been a sales manager in my career and at my last company. One of the worst things that can ever happen is when you ask your salesman, you know, what's going on with company XYZ? And he says, well, I reached out, and you say, well, what did you say? And he said, just wanted to see how things are going. Right. And that's the worst thing you
like
could possibly say. Right. You want to say, hey, I noticed you guys won this award, right, or I noticed that you're connected with this guy and this just happened. Right. You want to do something that shows you care and shows that you're sincere about that relationship, or else you're just going to be another person calling in.
Now, do you have any success stories of people that are utilizing SalesLoft and have had any success?
Absolutely. We get at least one customer a week tell us a story about how they got a meeting, an opportunity, or a closed deal because of our alerts. And one of the stories I like to tell, I mentioned this to you guys last time when we spoke, is there's a company in town named Rigor, R-I-G-O-R, and they are a web performance management organization. So what they do is they help speed up websites. Their particular focus is on e-commerce companies. And we used our tool to basically change. What they were originally doing was it had an e-commerce book with all the e-commerce companies, and they were going through calling them and trying to sell the solution. What we identified through their CRM was that they were more likely to sell to a company if they used particular technologies. And in this case, it was a tool called Magento. So what we did was we scraped the top 4 million websites, ID'd 22,000 companies using Magento technologies, and then started to rank those companies by various factors that would help them identify the right targets. So we did things like, hey, this company has a lot of U.S. traffic. The top third in U.S. traffic, break it off. And then this company's spending money in other tools and technologies, further refinement, right? And then the last thing we did was we said, let's rank them based on how slow those websites are, since he's selling a speed technology. And so he was able to go to this targeted space and say, you're using Magento, you're an e-commerce shop with lots of traffic, you're spending money on other technologies, and you're slower than your competition, use this tool to speed up. And they had their best quarter ever by refining their target and using our technology. And then after they created that list, they would get the sales off alerts going on. So anything that happened to those companies, they'd get those alerts and they'd get information on the fly about those companies.
Now, when you say that you came up with that strategy for them, is that something that your service offers? Is that kind of hands-on help, or is it kind of a do-it-yourself, hey, here's our stuff, you guys got to plug it in and play with it and figure it out on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. This is part of the product as we speak today. This project was
today
actually...
Today only. Tomorrow.
Well, it wasn't when we did the project for them. So this was part of our finding product market fit process, right? Our company's been around for 7.5 months. And early on, we wanted to find what customers wanted. And so we went on this project with rigor to identify that. And then based on the success of that project, we've implemented those tools and those processes into the product.
And so financial investment, what's the financial investment, and does it scale to different size companies?
Yeah, and so financial investment in terms of what is the investment in our company, or what do companies
pay for
our
product?
What
does it cost to use? Like, we have Salesforce, we're a small company. I mean, I find this idea very attractive, if for no other reason, just to get to the right kind of expert guest to come and talk on the show from time to time, much less sell them anything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So for our customers, it's $60 per user per month.
Uh-huh. And do you go straight to them, or is the only way you get it is you're using Salesforce already?
Right now, they have to be Salesforce.com customers to be a customer of SalesLoft.
So you have to go as a Salesforce.
So you go into your Salesforce.
And then you go, they have their own like app store or whatever, and then you go find you guys and then add it on?
Well, what we do is we typically sell direct, and then you can connect it into your Salesforce.com. But some people can access it through the App Exchange as well. But I'd say about 90% of the people buy directly from us.
Well, and then they get the benefit of this counsel on how to best use it and that kind of thing. Like, you're talking about this now, just a baked-in part of your process. Man, this thing must be selling like hotcakes.
Yeah. it's been really fun. You know, like I said, the company's been around for 7 months, and we shot out of a cannon building the thing. And what we did is we wanted to build something that someone could use early, but it wasn't that it was our full product yet. And we charged some customers early on last year, and that was kind of our first run, you know, early adopters. But now we've started to scale and bring this thing to market, and it's been unbelievable in terms of the reception.
So you obviously got a lot on the ball, very bright, articulate, got your handle on this thing. But you've got a whole team surrounding you. Tell us a little bit about your team and what the different roles are there.
Yeah, well, thanks for that compliment. Not too many people have said that. So I'm sitting here in shorts and a T-shirt and sandals.
He's just kissing up to you.
I'm trying to get it for 55 a month.
There you go. I might be able to help you get some high-profile people to the table here. So we do have an amazing team, and that's the most important thing to our organization is who the people are that are part of the company. And our culture is very strong, and we're very, very insistent on only bringing on people that fit the model of what we do. But at the very top of our organization is a gentleman who's relatively well known around the Atlanta scene, a guy named David Cummings. And David is the founder of a company in town named Pardot, which has been extremely successful. I think they were the fastest growing technology company in Georgia either last year or the year before. But David is a mentor and investor and works with us on a daily basis to set the business in the right direction. And then on top of that, we've got a developer who's been with us since the very beginning, a guy named Chris Beauregard, very strong and bright software development technologist. Then we've got another gentleman named John Birdsong, who's on the marketing and sales side, and he's awesome. And just recently brought on a guy named Todd Wilson, who is our big data architect and software development engineer as well.
So you've got a full complement. So is it hard to get in front of the right people to sell to? How do you bring this to market? I mean, now you've been on Atlanta Business Radio, so it's a non-issue. But before today, how did you get in front of the right people to buy this stuff?
Well, we have this product that we have exact access to.
That's all you need, huh? So you're able to just pick up the phone and call them, and they say, yeah, we'll sit down with you? Or I'm always interested in the sales and marketing approach, because I mean, these are great ideas, but a lot of people have good ideas.
Yeah, well, we believe that the first step in selling is to identify who the perfect customer is, and then to focus on those people as you go out to market. So what we do is we've decided that our perfect customer is obviously a Salesforce.com client. They're a technology organization, and they fit a certain revenue and size range. And so what we've done is we've gone out and we've identified who are the users of other technologies in the AppExchange. And our software allows us to identify those companies in mass through scale. So we basically create that list of companies, and then we monitor and tag them, and then stay up to date on anything, events that happen with those organizations while we're marketing to them. So we're really taking, eating our own dog food, if you will, and that combined with the strong content, automated marketing, drip and nurture campaigns, we're able to reach out to a lot of people. But there's also been a lot of opportunities like this, for example, for us to get out in front of a number of companies, and we really appreciate being a part of this show and having been interviewed in the past by you guys.
So I get it. You're sitting in a tree before the season opens, checking out the pattern, see how the wildlife moves around, throw them a little corn now and then, and then on opening day, that's when you pop them.
Yeah, but so, we do it in mass, like thousands of stands, thousands of people, thousands of pounds of corn.
So you got that hunting analogy? You were on board with that?
We've got the license, yeah.
I did that especially for Lee. Lee loves my hunting, my good old boy.
I know our huge city people are looking at you like,
what another, is he talking
they did
about?
Not follow that line of thinking.
My only vacation from sales off was a trip out to South Dakota to go pheasant hunting. So
he got that. That's good.
Oh, this is fantastic. Are you guys still looking for money, or you got all the money you need and you're just off and rolling? Or
we will take all money that comes along our way. Now, we decided to bootstrap the company. Mm-hmm. So we're invested by my own capital and the gentleman I mentioned, David Cummings, and we're scaling from there. There's some options to do other things that are exciting, and we're kind of weighing those out. But right now we're just heads down, signing up customers, collecting revenue, and building an amazing product and amazing team.
Anything new on the horizon that you are willing to talk about, or is that all double secret probation stuff? Because I know guys like you, you got the second and third play already in mind, don't you?
Well, I don't want to bore you down with all the details of the product, but we do have some amazing new features that are coming out.
Oh, yeah?
That'll make this product a lot more consumable, a lot more action off of the alerts that we're providing. Basically, we've been listening to customer feedback for the last 6-7 months and are now implementing what we've heard everyone wants. So we've got a lot of really cool things in the pipeline in terms of the product. The company's got some exciting stuff coming up too, and you might be hearing some things out in the news about us in the future, short-term future. But yeah, we're just, you know, heads down, building a product and building a great team.
Now, I have a question regarding the team part. You mentioned culture, and you mentioned building the team. How do you guys keep a culture that is, you know, aligned with your values and where you want it to go? Because there's a lot of talented people out there, but they may not be the right person.
That's a very astute observation. I think the most important thing is that we're very strict on the front end of who we bring into the company. So a lot of the...
we're not, by the way.
That's a
just so you know, strike one.
There's two gentlemen that have been unbelievable mentors to me in terms of building a culture and an organization. One is a guy named Charles Brewer, who was the founder of Mindspring, and he created something called the Core Values and Beliefs. And this concept really, for the rest of my life, will be ingrained in my memory as really the way to run and mold an organization. And then the other one is David Cummings, who's our co-founder and partner. And David, he's got one of the most amazing quotes. He says that the only sustainable thing that an entrepreneur has complete control over is the culture in his organization. Because you control who you hire and you control who you fire. So I think focusing on people up front, and not necessarily if they're just smart and have done this before, but do they fit the mold of the culture? And I think the most important things within that are that they are self-starting, that they can do things on their own, that they're helpful, meaning that they go out of their way to do things that aren't necessarily just on their job description, and that they're honest and ethical. And so those are the most important things, that we look at. But there's a whole slew of kind of checklists that we'll look at as we continue to hire and build people onto our company.
But how do you get past the fact you are kind of in startup mode, that maybe you don't have the most money to pay somebody, but they're still talented? How do you kind of entice somebody that has the right makeup and checks all those boxes, but you don't have maybe the money or the
dress code?
Is it just shorts on Monday? Is that what gets them?
I think what gets them is that we need people that are passionate about doing a startup. And the people that are passionate about doing a startup understand those challenges. They understand the risk versus rewards. They understand the trade-offs. And I think that we've created a culture that really helps focus on the individual and give them an opportunity to grow, to learn, to advance, and to do things that they've never done before, or to do things that they've had on their checklist of things they wanted to get done. So at a startup, especially a high growth one, you've got a lot of opportunities to do things that that really stretch your skill sets, experience, and involvement.
So how can our listeners learn more? What's the best way for them to reach out and find out more about this thing?
Well, there's all kinds of content on the web on salesloft.com, and we're pretty active in social media, so you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on creating blogs, creating white papers. We do videos every Friday on selling. So there's lots of stuff out there that you can find about us and check us out, and feel free to sign up for any of the tools that we've got out there. We've got one particular tool that we'd like to share with your audience. It's an absolutely free application that helps really get a taste of sales intelligence, and that's at jobchangealerts.com. It's just a free sign-up app through LinkedIn, and what'll happen is it'll take your LinkedIn network and identify when anyone makes any changes or has any events or activities that you should be aware of, and basically it delivers you LinkedIn alerts better than LinkedIn can.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations. You guys are doing some terrific work, and it's going to be fun to watch you as this thing unfolds, man.
Thank you, Stone. That means a lot.
Yes, sir. Hey, how about hanging out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. So, Lee, you got some other folks in the studio with you?
Sure. We got Adam Wilson and Hugh Malkin, and they are with Huge City. Welcome, guys.
Hey,
thank
how's
you.
It going?
So, Huge City, I saw a little bit about it because I do extensive research the night before these interviews. I stay up all night. And I did see a picture. Look at some geolocation aspect to this thing, but break it down for us. What's this thing all about?
Well, basically, we're taking all of the Facebook events around you and we're putting it on a map and a list, which sounds very, very, very basic, but it's kind of complicated to do. And Adam has been tremendous at being able to solve the Facebook API and help us basically make this thing amazing.
We like to call it total events awareness for Facebook. So Facebook has incredible events of things going around Atlanta, trivia nights at bars that you might not know about. And we go into Facebook for you and instantly get you all that data and all the stuff that's going on around you. And you can go out, have fun, hang out with your friends, and just have a great time.
But I'm confused on how it integrates into my Salesforce.com.
We don't have that integration yet. The Facebook API is a little bit complex.
We're going to work with Kyle on that
okay.
one.
Yeah.
So this guy's scraping for business news. These folks are scraping for where the drinks are, right?
Exactly.
It's the same basic arena, right?
Mm-hmm. They go together pretty well.
Okay, so on the front end, well, first, how far along are we? Is this thing is real now?
It is real.
Yeah. It's been real for, this version has been real for 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
4 months.
So
okay.
We've been doing, I guess, a curated style events list, sort of like Creative Loafing does, for about a year now. And then we realized all the events that we were finding were already on Facebook. So we were doing work twice, and I don't like doing that at all. The other part was, normally once I found an event that I wanted to go to, I'd send it off to my friends, email, text, something like that. This way with Huge City, we get to figure out how many of our friends are already going to those events. So not only are we showing you what is around you, we're also showing you who's going out tonight.
That is very cool.
So you know where not to go.
Right. Where not to go, or if there's somebody you want to go see, you can go find them.
All right,
them.
So how do you know what I care about? I'm inputting some of this on the front end?
You're actually not doing a thing. That's the cool thing about
it. Oh, no, see, this is something I'm willing to write a check for.
Yeah. So
I don't do a thing.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, you've already done all the work you need to on Facebook. So you have friends on Facebook. You have all your likes on Facebook. So we're just bringing all of those events from your friends and your likes to you and showing you what's going on.
So
Facebook
if I like beer.
If you like beer.
I'm going to hear about the beer festival.
If you like Sweetwater, if you like ABC, Atlanta Brewing Company, those events will start showing up. Or let's say if you like Wynate, another local Atlanta business, all of those type events. And they go all over town sponsoring different things.
So like if somebody has like the food truck things popular now, right? So if I like the food truck thing and Stone likes a different food truck, that's being aggregated and then all in one place so that we both know, like, hey, there's food truck events happening.
Exactly. So if let's say either one of you like a specific food truck.
Right.
Probably both of you are going to end up going to the food truck park, I think it's Wednesday, for a live concert. Now they're going to have a summer concert series, which is kind of cool.
So right. He's in the know because he has this thing.
I have this thing.
Exactly.
So all of this stuff starts popping up. And let's say last year I saw, I'm a pilot, fly out of Peachtree DeKalb or DeKalb Peachtree. And about a year ago, there was an air show, and I had no clue about it. Very, very, very cool. And so I liked PDK, the airport. And now this week, I just found out, hey, there's an air show going on this weekend, Saturday. So it's one of those things. It'll just come back and remind you. And now I get to send it off to my friends, and they can say, hey, yeah, I'd like to go join you.
So now what's that look like in my Facebook? Like, so am I just getting bombarded with everybody's events?
No, we don't push anything to you. It's you go to this application, and it's a big map that you see of all the events and a searchable list.
Oh, okay.
So you can visit Huge City within Facebook, and we like to consider it the events interface that Facebook should have.
So now, but I'm getting pinged that there's an air show somewhere, right?
So no, basically it's using your location. So we use three different reasons why you go to an event. One, it's nearby. Two, you have a friend going, and three, you like it.
Right.
So we're trying to narrow it to those at the top of the list. And then as you go down further and further, it's more less and less qualities. So the air show won't come up unless you have a friend going to it, if you like it, that type of thing.
We do have a weekly email that we send out every Thursday night or Friday morning that shows just the best of Atlanta that we know for Huge City. But one of the features that we have coming up is that we will start sending out personalized emails for the people who opt in. And we go through your profile and we say, hey, these are the top 10 events that you'd probably like this weekend. Here's where your friends are going. Here's just a friendly reminder of how your weekend could look.
But locally based. So it's sort of like the Groupon, but we won't bring up teeth whitening that's down the road.
Right.
It's actually going to be something you're going to be interested in.
And I'm operating under the impression that it's a lot more application for this, say, in Atlanta, Georgia versus Op Alabama.
Be surprised.
Or is it good to have it in Op Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
You want to know what in the world can we do on a Friday night?
Even though I don't know where Op Alabama is, but if you go around, there's probably local businesses that have local pages, that type of thing. And let's say one of our favorite restaurants to go to is Victory Sandwich Bar in Inman Park. They don't have an event every week or things like that. They have an event probably once a year, maybe once every 6 months. But when you do like those, a place like that, those events will come back to you when you like them. So you don't have to go actively search each and every single one of the businesses in Alabama. They'll just come to you. So it's basically just trying to do everything a little bit more efficiently, tell you everything you need to know without going to 10 different web pages.
Now, was it a challenge to work with the Facebook?
Or no?
Or they're easy.
No. I'm actually very grateful for the amount of data that they do publish through their API,
right.
But it can be a little bit finicky to get to some of it, especially where I think we're going through more connections than a lot of applications really
right.
do. A lot of applications, you know, like to post on the wall and just like to get a list of your friends or emails or stuff like that. We're really doing a lot of data mining through their API, and it's not really designed for data mining. So we're trying to get a view of your profile that's not really the same way that Facebook stores all your information. So,
and probably the best way to say it, instead of we're digging through your profile, it's more of us showing you your Facebook in a new way. So right now, Facebook has the best events data on the planet, bar none. There's nothing anywhere close to it. AJC doesn't have it here in Atlanta. Creative Loafing doesn't have it. Nowhere has this. But Facebook does not have a way of showing you what's going on. They have a tiny events page. I'm not
right.
sure if you guys have been to it, but it shows you only the things that you already know about instead of all the things that your friends know about it. And instead of going to every single one of your friends to figure out, hey, what are you doing? This way, we just show it all in one shot. So we're not taking anything. We're just changing the way it looks.
Okay, show me the money. this is way cool. How do you make money on this thing?
There's quite a few ways for us to make money, which is good because as the place that people go to find out what's going on specifically in Atlanta, when I go to Huge City, I'm already in the mindset I'm going out, or I'm already out when we're just about to release an app. So when I'm already out, I'm looking on my phone to say, hey, where am I going next? We can show you, we know where you are, we know what you want to do. We can advertise to you as saying, let's say, just the same way that Google does in the first two results,
right.
saying, hey, maybe you would like, if I'm in Piedmont Park, let's recommend going to Park Tavern. And if it's raining, we can say, all right, it's dollar beers with Park Tavern. So that type of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because like Holly and I will be out, or you and Abby will be out, and, you know, we get the blue hair dinner, right, at 6 o'clock. And
then he had me at dollar beer.
But no, if you could go to this app and say, okay, I'm already down in another part of town, you know, where could we go that's close?
We've just talked to quite a few other companies as well. So that's one way. It's just the advertising.
Right.
The other way is, let's say, last week we met with, actually 2 weeks ago we met with Creative Loafing. Last week we met with AJC. They're all looking for ways to see how do we use social media, how do we use the internet. It's hard for newspapers to get into everything. How do we use what we have today? Let's say all of our reviews of restaurants. Let's say I'm at Masquerade and I've just come out from a show, or I'm just about to go to a show. I need to go eat before. I'd like to look up a review of what's the best of in Atlanta, and right next door to Masquerade, whether I know it or not, is Fourth and Swift, Jay Swift's place. So, and I can read a review straight from Creative Loafing or AJC of the best of columns. So we're adding a lot more value for when you're going out.
What a wonderful world.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I think this is marvelous. Facebook didn't think of this already, or they're happy to have you play, or they're like, dead gummit, I wish we'd have come up with our...
Well, there's two thoughts to that. So,
is it Facebook buys it next year and everybody's happy?
They did just do Instagram for $1 billion, so, you know, maybe, and they haven't been buying a company for less than $70 million, I think.
With that? Is that what you're saying? That's
okay,
minimum bid?
You know, yeah,
minimum bid?
I think minimum is $70 million.
That's a lot of airplane fuel.
It's a lot of fuel. So, no, I mean, they're into a lot of different things. Their main thing right now, the way that we've been following it very closely, of course, the IPO is coming out this week. We'd like to position ourselves for the future of working with them. But, of course, we're also building to say, hey, we can do this and we can do a lot of other things as well. So it's a fun time for us.
So is it just you guys, or you have investors?
Do have an investor and advisor. Our lead advisor is Doug Curling from New Kent Capital. He was from formerly of Accenture, formerly CEO of Choice Point, then stepped back when he sold it for $4 billion in 2008, and now he is our lead investor for our first round. So we're just about to do a convertible debt round for our angels, and for about $500,000, starting on the 15th, going through for the next 3 months, and then probably do a Series A about a year after that.
So I'll tell you what, you're in really good company. I've met Doug Curling. I don't know him well. He's a good friend of a good friend, but he was kind enough to meet with me one time in helping me think through doing some work in the nonprofit arena, and he has a nonprofit that he's attached to called Giving Point. Mm-hmm. And just a very gracious guy, very giving, just always looking for ways to help you. So I think you're in terrific company there.
Yeah, he's an excellent guy.
Yeah, Doug's great.
Yeah.
He knows both Adam and I from high school. So back in the day, we went to high school with his son and his daughter, and his other son.
And he still did business with you.
We were kind of surprised, too.
Picking an investor is so important.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Choose wisely, right?
I think we've done well. Doug's been a great... mentor through many, many years of knowing him. So, yeah, it's been a good time.
Well, speak to that, if you will, and Kyle, please join the conversation. A little advice to our listeners out there, some of whom, you know, probably do have some really solid marketable ideas, and they just don't have the funding. What are some early steps, or maybe more importantly for this conversation, some early missteps that they ought to be aware of?
I would say don't go after raising money. I would say go after getting traction and building a business that people care about. I would say that's the most important thing, is to not focus on the fact that you might need money or you should need money. Do whatever you can to build something that's valuable, that people can see traction with and goals, and then you can go out and do other things. But I would focus solely on building something awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been running a website like what we've got right now for a year.
Ah, I see. So.
Oh, without any investor, that you were just doing that on your own?
Yes, it was just us playing with our technology.
And then, so how'd you get the attention of the investor?
Well, I guess we've been talking to him for quite some time. We had been throwing around ideas for a while. Some of them would have been a little bit too expensive to start. I guess our first idea was, I just moved back to Atlanta from, I was living in Amsterdam for the past couple years. And I struggled to find which of my friends were going out, which ones were still in Atlanta. Right. It was hard.
So it was a real need you were trying to. You weren't just saying, "How can I get rich quick in the next few months?" You were trying to solve a genuine problem, just like Kyle was
Exactly. So we wanted to figure out who was going out, where they were going, what was hot, and we figured out with everyone's cell phone. I mean, I see a couple iPhones around here. With everyone's cell phone, we can tell with AT&T's data or whoever's data how many cell phones are in this room or in this location. Uh-huh. And from that, we wanted to go off and license that sort of idea and put it on a map and then develop events around that. It would have been very, very expensive to buy that data. So we quickly pivoted, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
It's an important part of startup, right?
Exactly. And we started doing a lot of data entry ourselves and eventually figured out, no, it's not going to work.
So then you said, let me go play on Facebook?
Yeah, we started seeing a couple other, I guess, apps that were out there playing in that type of realm, but they weren't doing anything close to what we wanted to see.
Right.
We saw that you could get that kind of information, specifically the events information, and we jumped all over it instantly. I think that we found that out in December. And in December, we quickly changed everything we were doing and moved over to this. So
we basically made the Facebook version of our curated events list for Atlanta, mm-hmm. and it automatically did all of our work for us just by one of us logging in. So, okay, maybe we should do it this way. And plus, instead of just being in Atlanta, it works all over the world.
Yeah, I just have a friend who came back from Madrid Friday, and he came back and shook my hand. He said, without me, or without Huge City, he wouldn't have been able to hang out as much as he did.
Right.
So he was going, he was just taking Spanish lessons. He was taking a break for a couple months, and he was friending people as he was going through school or meeting people at the bar. And he could find out each weekend without calling all the people and spending money, especially as a student in Madrid. He could see it instantly, who was going out, why they were going out. It was a big thing for him. So he showed it to all his friends. And yeah, so now we're in Spain, which is good.
It's amazing how you can have these big, huge companies like Facebook, LinkedIn, Salesforce.com, and they're doing amazing things for a large audience, but they don't fill in the little gaps and the places like Instagram or like Huge City, where there's things that people want to do and they could be done better if a developer and a team comes and tweaks it just a little bit. So it's awesome to see you guys doing that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Actually, I think one of the things that Facebook is doing that's not too helpful for this kind of event space is their events are really designed around RSVPs. Like, you know, invite someone to this event and, you know, which of your friends are going to this event is not something that they really expose on their interface. So we're filling this huge gap between invitations and big promoted events like big concerts and movies and stuff like that, which is, I think, the biggest part of the event space.
How do you guys differentiate between, let's say, my buddy's birthday where everyone's not invited and then someone else's birthday where, you know, it's like a big bash?
Oh, Facebook marks those events completely differently. There's open, friends only, and by invite only for different events. So we will show you your events that you've been specifically invited to, but we won't show that to anyone else.
Right. Cool.
So we do that. However, we also show... if it is an open invitation, we don't show you all of the birthdays that are happening. And I mean, there's thousands of events happening in Atlanta every week. So we narrow it down to just the ones that you like and that you have friends going to. So those are the ones that we would like to show you more than ever. But it does take a Facebook login, which is one of those things that people do. They look at kind of strange, but all we do is just change the way it looks. That's probably the biggest thing we need to remind everybody. We've got a cartoon that's going to come out, and there's a video. Before you click on anything, it's going to sort of show that in a good way.
What really happens.
Very cool. Exactly.
But what a great lesson for entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs out there. You can see what the big guys are doing and doing well and look for these gaps that, like Kyle's talking about, which obviously you guys have jumped all over. That's very inspiring and gives me a very positive outlook on our future, Lee.
Well, that's what's exciting about the startup community.
I mean,
it's happening all over the place. People are finding these little teeny niches and trying to play in there, and who knows, you could sell it, could be bought, anything could happen.
Well, that's exactly what we did with Salesforce.com, because they sit there and they hold all that important information, name, phone number, address, email, title, but they don't go out on the web and append it with all that dynamic data. And so that's where we step in. We said, Salesforce takes you this far, let's take you the rest of the way.
Right.
Yeah, we used to have a professor who used to say, head in the clouds, feet on the ground. So it basically meant keep your head up, keep dreaming and looking around, but keep moving forward, or moving at least. And that way you always just keep your head up and you see, hey, there's a spot over there that I can squeeze in. And that's sort of what we did here. So it's
So now if somebody wanted to throw this on their website and get involved, what's your website or how do they do it?
It's hugecity.us, or just look up Huge City on Facebook. Either way, that's where we are today, and in a few months we'll be releasing our app, which is going to be a whole new
can of worms. Now they just like you, and then or they have to do something else?
It's a Facebook application, so you just start it and allow
it, and then... you're in, and everything else takes care of itself.
It takes a little bit to build, so it's a small little engine. It takes about a minute or so to actually show you.
Oh no, no, no! The first time, the first time you log in, it's going to be about.
Yeah.
No, we're
a minute's like a year.
The page is loaded in under half a second, which is important. But the first time you log in, it takes about 5 to 10 seconds to fetch the hundreds and hundreds of events that we need to come through for Facebook.
If you need to speed something up, Kyle's got a guy that speeds things up.
Well, no, we do have a caching engine on the back end, so after a couple minutes, subsequent logins will be much, much quicker, and you'll have all your data instantly.
Right.
So.
Good stuff. All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, and our guests today, Adam Wilson, Hugh Malkin, and Kyle Porter. We will be back next week on Atlanta Business Radio. See you then.